Marie Beatty and Rosemary Delane have a film entitled The Elegant Spanking, and it is screened here in the Imagination Festival. Marie Beatty is here in the studio, and Rosemary Delane is on the phone from New York City, where I presume you both live and work right now.
That's correct.
Yep, we live and play and work.
Play.
And our work is our play, and our play is our lifestyle.
Okay, well, my first question off the top to Rosemary was, what is The Elegant Spanking?
It's pretty much just like it sounds. It's my hand and her butt filmed very pretty. And when it's not my hand and her butt, it's my hand holding roses and her butt. It truly is a very elegant film. It's a story about a mistress and a maid. I'm the mistress, and she's the maid in kind of a lifestyle-type relationship put in movie form. Probably because if I was wearing my sweatpants, it wouldn't be as nice to look at. Although, you know, I don't look too bad in sweatpants.
But it wouldn't be elegant.
It's not elegant.
No. Maria.
Yes.
So what we did was we paid special attention to fetish clothing and sheer stiletto seam stockings, corsets, garters, spike heels. We threw in some satin opera gloves, veiled hats, and, of course, her starched apron and the little ribbon on the maid's uniform that just not only was a great object for interest of fetish connoisseurs, but made me want to mess her up because she looks so perfect.
That's the thing with elegance.
Mm-hmm. Mess her up and make her hair stand on end. Meow.
Meow.
AP kitty.
So, well, Maria, what would you have to add to that from the starched side?
The starch side.
Well, yeah.
Well, The Elegant Spanking is based on a true lesbian S&M love story. And for me, it has a lot to do with consensual lovemaking, trust, respect for each other's limitations, the intensity of touch, touching harder and feeling more, and a lot about fantasy and role-playing. This is our own little world together, and this is how we have sex and make love.
We both are very much into exhibitionism and voyeurism, and when we're not having scenes in front of people or on camera, we like to watch ourselves do it in the mirror. So it's perhaps the height of narcissism. And when we're not doing all that, we love having people photograph us. And, you know, we have been compared to a pornographic Fellini and absolute trash and porn and absolute elegance. So it's kind of a piece for fetishists and people who are interested in art and academics to have fun, watch, and argue over.
That's quite a cross-section.
That's right. Gives everybody a lot to do. But really what you see is a meticulously choreographed by our own chemistry, not dance steps. Dance. It's like a pageant of female beauty and perversity, and it's a truly electric and erotic, hypnotic dance between the two of us as consenting partners, giving and taking, and her giving and my taking makes a circle, which is like the never-ending circle of nature, of life, where one role runs into the other and kind of justifies the other. And without the other one has no role. So it's really an elevation of each role as I whip Kitty's sweet little pussy and nipples with pink roses, followed by foot scenes. And everyone loves it.
how often have you performed in public?
Oh, I really don't. I don't have any idea. I didn't really count. We perform in public, impromptu, most anywhere. The last time we performed impromptu was at what's the name of the museum?
The new museum.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we went to
visit. We just went and saw Bob Flanagan, who's like the ultimate masochist.
Not quite.
And
the male version.
The ultimate masochistic perversion idol for perversity. And so he looked pretty bored and tired, so we put on a show impromptu in the museum for him. And to reciprocate, he hung himself upside down by his feet for 7 minutes, which were breathtaking. I'm not sure if I liked that or not. I think he kind of one-upped me, because I think I held my breath for 7 minutes. But ours is about beauty and grace and elegance and mutual masturbation.
So, Maria, about like the performance, for example, last night at Sky.
Yes.
Rosemary's talking about public performances, and that's part of what the two of you like to do. And
yes.
So from your side, from your perspective, what's that about for you?
Well, I'm an extreme exhibitionist, and this is my way of getting off and having sex. I take the energy from the audience, and I feed off of it. And like Rosemary was commenting on the circle, it's for me, it's the same way, performing in front of people, giving and taking, and it's an electric experience for me. I mean, it's,
where's the audience at? I mean, I suppose as a general question.
What kind of response have you gotten from people in the audience after performance?
Usually they're very quiet. Sometimes they come up and they say that was beautiful, astounding. But usually when I'm performing, I block out all of the comments. I'm working off of energy more than anything. And I think a lot of people are usually shocked, especially because as a masochist and submissive, putting my body up there for, you know, when they consider painful, and for me it's extremely erotic. I have mixed emotions. Being a woman, too, doing this to my body, it's something that I have to defend frequently.
And the thing is she has to love herself to be able to do this, to have it come off as beautiful as it is. There is no self-hate involved in any of this. There's no sexual representation that's degrading to humans or to women. It's a very elevating experience for both of us. It feels really wonderful, and there isn't anything that should be offensive to people, although it may be shocking.
And I guess that's the point, really, is that the buttons that are pushed for various audience members, I mean, at some point you have to disengage from the responsibility of their reaction, because part of this is about your own exhibitionism and getting off performing. And the audience, there's going to be such a variety of responses ultimately from, you know, everybody who watches is feeling something.
Well, I think that the film is a very honest documentation of what we really do. I mean, we really are putting our neck on the line to say, this is what we do. We're not going to fake it. We're not going to give you what you think you want to see what we do. This is what we do. And we have had both good and bad feedback by presenting it uncut and saying, this is what we do, and we'd like to share it with you.
And do you plan to make more films in the future, documenting your own lovemaking?
Yes, well, we're starting another film in January. And it's based on a murder mystery. It takes place in an elegant bathroom.
So elegant, then, is a running theme.
A whole notebook full of film ideas.
Right.
And It's a matter of building budget to get all the films that we want to make done.
I'd like to comment on how we subsidize our films. And we, Rosemary is a professional mistress, dominant. And I am a professional submissive. And this is what we do every day in order to make a living and then funnel it into our art.
And we also learn. It's like doing research for our work.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we don't get a lot of women clients, which would be more fun.
No, eh?
One time Maria was mad at me and wouldn't talk to me, so I went down and bought her for the evening, and she was stuck with me and quite thrilled. It was certainly a great way to make up an argument. Neither of us are men haters in what we're doing, because we do work with men. We don't hate men. We just prefer to have intimate sex with women. There's... In not so much in her end, but in my end, it is assumed that because you're a dominatrix or you do domination or goddess worship, I prefer to think of it as goddess worship, because I release their fantasies and help them ultimately. But you know, it doesn't mean that I hate anyone because I do the top end of domination. And I certainly don't hate my pretty little JP pussy kitty.
What does JP stand for?
Juicy pussy. Did anyone notice it running down her legs last night? Now you know why I call her JP.
Do you have a sense of a lesbian SM community that you belong to, how do you conceptualize past your individual identity? Where
we don't necessarily belong to any community or group. This is something that we do together.
It's difficult because. It's a very hard thing to categorize. I think maybe there should be like another category of some sort, because not all lesbians do S&M, and some would be offended that we say, oh yes, we're lesbians, and then they would say, oh well, we don't do that. So perhaps at some point there will be another name, title, whatever. We just kind of call it ZN, which stands for Zenith and Nadir, which is basically everything and nothing.
Okay, I guess you've encompassed, everything and nothing in that. Tomorrow night, or is it tonight here in Montreal at the Metropolis? Tonight here in Montreal at one of the big clubs, there's one of the mainstream clubs, there's an event called Flesh, and it's an SM sort of scenario set up in a mainstream club by fairly sort of middle of the road people, and I guess I'm just sort of alluding to a mainstreaming of the whole SM, not like the not just the sort of acts, but also the look. And given too that with a particular sort of act is also a look, which sometimes can be emulated without sort of going any more than and past the superficial level. Mm-hmm. And so, what's your sense of that, either of you? I guess just on, do you see sort of a mainstreaming of SM?
I see the mainstreaming of the costuming.
Mm-hmm.
I see the potential for people to play in S&M, but I don't know that they're particularly what we call scene players. In other words, they're dabbling around with it, and they're at the edge of it, but are they doing it because they're compelled to do it? Are they doing it for play? Are they doing it just because it's in? Are they doing it because it's like a hula hoop? Mm-hmm. We're doing it because it's in our nature. And therefore, the difference is part of our makeup. I think inherently it's in all human nature. It's been repressed, suppressed, and all that other. But I think that the lack of ritual in society is why people are kind of looking to the S&M scene, because it's so full of ritual.
And costumes and objects and things to buy and wear and trade and swap. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a lot more experimentation. I think especially now with AIDS, too, it's a form of safe sex.
Yeah.
Noticed that.
And it's very endorphin raising, which is like a natural morphine. And, you know, people are getting away from drinking and getting away from drugs and finding new ways to elevate their spirit
to
and
get
their
high.
Spirituality mm-hmm. through, you know, new means of the goddess worship things that are coming in to play.
And spirituality.
And, you know, like the solstice and all these other more new age aspects. I think S&M is a borderline part of that, even though, you know, there's a lot of new age people who would be horrified to think that that might be so, but I really think that it falls in there. And I think that S&M has had a bad name put to it because it's been so driven underground. It's kind of like when you start a relationship with someone, you're very experimental, and the more you get to know them, the less you ask for what you would really like sexually. So that is kind of what makes the opportunity for the type of jobs that we have for fetish and role play, because people are just afraid to ask their partners to play these roles with them, and we do not have sex with any of these clients. There's no sex involved. It's just purely fantasy and role play.
Wow. And do you get well paid to do it, I suppose? Or it must be decent.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. Well, you're funding your films. That's great. Never mind the grant circuit.
That's right. We gave up on that a long time ago.
Besides, the paperwork just really was a mess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, anyways.
It was better off lining my cat's litter box.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and just the maintaining of your independence here.
I do think that making a 16mm film was a lot more hard work than I ever thought it would be. A lot more time consuming, a lot more expensive, lots more work for us, but lots and lots more sexual gratification to see it come alive on the screen while we were editing it, on the screen while we're watching it at the screening. There was lots of sexual tension, and it was hard for us to even sit in our seats through the editing sessions because we have to keep stopping and come. And Kitty calls it video sex, and it's just great. I'm sure that the controls of her editing machine are still sticky.
Maria, tell us about some of the other videos that you've made.
I made the Sluts and Goddesses video workshop with Annie Sprinkle. That was about a year ago. And right after The Elegant Spanking, I produced a shorter video named A Lot of Fun for the Evil One. And it's based on a masturbatory nightmare.
And it's beautiful. It's really, really good.
It's a video, and it has a lot of S&M, and I made it, collaborated with another woman. And we have a TV that stars, a transvestite,
Pardon?
That stars in the video with me, as well as...
That is a really highly charged piece where a dominatrix buys a male and a female slave and then trains the female slave by allowing her to express herself sexually with a dildo on the male slave after empowering her and kind of showing her some of her different erotic sexuality. And it's really well edited. It's one of the better S&M videos.
So we'll see this
and the
perhaps
soundtrack
next year?
Is real good.
Yes, I hope so.
Well,
A lot of people have mixed reactions. I've sent a few copies out to a lot of the lesbian and gay film festivals, and along with The Elegant Spanking, and that tape always comes back to me, rejected.
What do you think that's about?
Because there is a so-called male involved. in the piece.
Right.
And I'm having S&M sex with him, so it's not considered lesbian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the woman.
Right. But he's dressed up like a woman. I mean, he considers himself.
Well, he doesn't hardly look like a woman. Right. I don't know. He looks like some kind of Muppet, but that's okay. It's not a convincing, it's not like a hot she-male. This is definitely a man who's being sissified for humiliation purposes. I mean, it's not like you would ever mistake it for a woman. The wig comes cockeyed, the lipstick's all over the face. It's extremely perverse.
It's like, Fellini-esque.
You know, David Lynch does the evil one. It's very good.
Rosemary?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about our current projects, like your magazine, your S&M magazine.
Yeah, we've got
producing.
About another minute left, so.
Okay, I'm not up there for this performance because I have a deadline at the end of November to complete my magazine called The Erotic Exploits of Goddess Rosemary. And even though I would like it to be a lesbian S&M magazine, my publisher does want, you know, several different genders because I do work with men. And it's mostly female to female, but not entirely. It's mostly pictures. There's hardly any advertising in it because I hate looking at magazines with tons of advertising. But it's really kind of an art piece. It's not just a regular magazine. Did you want to talk about the installation at the museum that we're putting together, Kitty?
Yeah. This coming February in New York, there will be...
I don't know that much about it. You know more about it than I do.
Oh, a little more.
With your friend from Iceland?
Right. They want us to perform our excerpts from The Elegant Spanking.
And then do some sort of installation?
Photo installation.
Do you know when that's going to be?
February.
February.
Right.
Yeah, here in New York.
Mm-hmm. At which museum?
Well, she doesn't know yet.
Okay.
They're still working on the space.
So we'll have to update you as we get more information on that one. But that's one of our next projects coming up, and then we're going to make a film called The Black Glove and a few others.
Okay.
Wonderful. It sounds like you two are, like, productive and having a blast at the same time.
Yeah.
Thank you both for this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Kitty.
Bye-bye. Meow.
Meow.